Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, welcome, Botcast time. Summer Botcast time. I'm looking outside the window. It's summer. I'm in Solihull. It's raining. but we're here to bring a little bit of sunshine into your summer day. I know many of you listen to this while you're driving along. So it's Nige here, and to keep you company on this particular journey. And with me this month, making his Botcast debut. Long time, one of the longest serving members of EC. He has celebrated his 6th anniversary already, and no one has celebrated their 7th yet. So you're right up there. Ash Taylor, welcome to the Botcast.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here on this sunny... No, that's a lie. It is just chucking it down outside.
Are you nervous?
No. That's the thing. That's also a lie.
Yeah.
No, I'm all right.
No, it's not. You see, because you're very calm. Ash, I've known Ash for a long time. Well, roughly just over 6 years, in actual fact. Initially, as a member of Entrepreneur Circle, you came into Mastermind fairly early on.
Yep.
And we spent 2 or 3 years together in Mastermind, and then you had quite a shift in your own business.
I did.
A couple of years ago now, to the extent where actually walked away from your established business and started doing something else.
I did.
And we might explore a little bit of that and what went on there and some of the triggers for around that, because I think it would be fair to say that you're certainly in the 6 years that I've known you. You're in a fairly happy place right now, aren't you?
I'm in a really happy place.
And I don't mean Solihull on a rainy afternoon in the summer.
Apart from that, yeah.
But that broadly speaking, you've got things lined up nicely.
Yeah, I think walking away from something that I didn't enjoy doing, which I think a lot of people are afraid of doing. You know, you're doing a job that you hate. You might be living with somebody you hate, and you carry on and
running a business that you hate.
And just walk away and start again. So I did that, and I'm really happy, and I've got really, really good clarity on where I want to be.
Okay, well, we'll pick up on that in a little bit. Before we talk clarity, I want to talk complexity. I was in America recently, and I spent some time with my good friend Dan Kennedy. And Kennedy, he's very deep, is Dan. And have you met him?
Once.
Okay. I mean, he's a grumpy old son, but he doesn't. He is ever so smart. And I do enjoy my time with him and listening to him. And we were talking about business and marketing in particular. And we got onto the complexity and actually how, from a marketing perspective, complexity in your campaigns is actually invariably quite a good thing, because so many people operate at actually a very superficial level.
Yeah.
And complexity can come in all sorts of different forms. It can be the extent to which you break down the message. So if I talk to you today or send a message, that is aimed specifically at men in their 30s wearing black t-shirts, all of a sudden I'm more relevant to you.
Definitely.
But that requires me to go to quite some effort, because I've got a different message from men in their 30s wearing blue t-shirts or men in their 20s wearing... I'm layering in complexity.
Yeah.
And I've always understood this, and I know from my own experiences, when I've designed a marketing campaign and done it well, there will be a lot of levels to it. My infusion kind of chart, as it were, that I look at is can be very, very complex. But this paled in when I got hold of a book that Dan talked about, and it's a book called... I don't suggest you buy this book, by the way, although you and Ash has just picked it up now for the benefit of those of you watching in black and white. He's now showing it to the recording machine. It's a book called Addiction by Design. Okay, Addiction by Design, and it's got a subtitle, Machine Gambling in Las Vegas. Now, as I say, you can buy this book, it's about 13 quid. I don't recommend you do, but it is very insightful. It has got 438 pages, and this is quite a heavy print, Ash, isn't it? This is quite a small font. I'm guessing it's probably like an 11-point font. So there's a 438-page book, very tightly spaced lines as well, and a small font. And this book is all about the complexity, the lengths that the casinos go to in Las Vegas to make the slot machines addictive. In terms of, you know, when I say addictive, I probably don't mean that from a medical perspective, but this is about all the things they do to keep people at the machines. And it's extraordinary. I mean, I've not read the whole book. I flicked it since I first got it delivered by Amazon a few days ago. And it is extraordinary. You had a little flick just before we recorded this, and everything from the angles of the screen and how close the stools are, but all this has been tested, and it's all scientific. And one thing I did read in there, you know, when you're on these machines, because people do get, you know, they always believe that if they leave, if I leave my machine now, you're going to come in and put your quarters in, and you're going to win the jackpot. So that people stay. And this is a problem because we all have bodily needs. And there's only so long
you can stay.
A human being can stay in one place without the need to make toilet. And there are instances of people actually staying at the machine and making, which is fairly gross.
That's quite grim.
But what there are now in three of the casinos in Vegas, they now employ staff who will sit on your machine while you go to the bathroom.
Wow.
Which is quite, now again, we can
yeah.
we can debate the kind of ethics of some of this stuff, but it is fascinating because I remember when I first went to Vegas. I've been several times to Vegas, and it's not one of my favourite places, but it's hard not to enjoy it when you're there. And I do remember thinking that I just want to own a casino. Well, because
but buy that book first.
Well,
and read it.
Interestingly, I've never really played the machines. It's not really my thing. But I will go and have a go on the roulette wheel or something, or the blackjack table. And I do remember. I remember one morning going down to breakfast, and because we were at the stand at the Bellagio at the time, and you come down in the lift, and you have to walk through this. I mean, immense casino. I mean, the size of a football pitch. This casino. And you have to walk this casino on the way to breakfast. So I don't know what it's 8 o'clock in the morning, say, and we're going to go to breakfast and go by the pool. But you have to walk for a minute and a half through the casino. And because there's not that many, there's still people there, but it's not rammed full of people. There's people playing on the tables. And I remember stopping at this roulette table and just putting $100 down. And I covered quite a lot of stuff, you know.
You do.
But
yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah.
And so 25 seconds later, I was $100 down. Yeah. Now, and I just remember thinking, that is amazing. That these places can just take this money off you so quickly.
It's like a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's better.
Yeah, more efficient.
it'd be a kind of proper Dyson clean. But yeah. And again, all this is, but there's such a lot of science and complexity gone into. We could do a whole thing on Vegas, the attraction of people to go there. But this book took it to a new level for me. In terms of the debt to get people to stay on the machines, and we, as business owners, we tend to operate at a very superficial level in terms of what we do to even bring people into our own business, let alone keep them here. And you know, that's the one thing I've taken from this book. Actually, is that there's more I need to do. I need to get more complex with both my customer acquisition and my kind of customer retention piece. And I just wanted to share that on the podcast today.
Just having flicked through, as you said, there were two things that jumped out at me. Is one that it's written by an anthropologist.
Yes.
You know, well, study of human behaviour.
That's where all the stuff is rooted in.
Exactly. So they're really trying to pin it down to that. And the level of detail, how can we change the angle of the chair, and you mentioned this, and the way the screen is close to your face, so you get that 1 or 2% extra
marginal gain,
as David Brailsford talks about, so that you can be that little bit more comfortable and reduce fatigue so that you stay there for that little bit longer. And it's just going into that detail for me was just quite really interesting. And I think it's one of the things that we don't do as business owners. And when you talked about complexity can start at quite a simple level, but just tracking where your calls are coming from, how many calls you're making, what the input is, so that you can then make decisions on based on the results, rather than just sticking your finger in the air and hoping that it's going to be okay, or I think it's about this much.
I just found this little quote here. It's from the book itself. A gambler named Darlene posted the following activity log to an internet recovery site for gambling addicts. Okay. 3 a.m. Was almost alone. Had to go to the bathroom. Didn't want to leave the machine. Stayed. 5 a.m. Still there. Choking on smoke. Starving. Cramping from bladder pain. Butt hurting from sitting. 6 a.m. Finally got up. Put my coat on. But still couldn't leave. Managed to grab an attendant to watch the machine while I peed. Almost cried with relief. Looked at myself in bathroom mirror, was shocked at what I saw. I don't ever want to look on the face of that woman again. The desperate one, the smoky, hungry one, who doesn't have the sense of the bathroom or go home. Continued playing, standing up, coat on. 8 a.m., breakfast eats arrived, and I became terrified that someone I knew would see me. Finally left. How did I get to this point? 15 hours. I've never done anything in my life for 15 hours straight, except take care of my babies. I'm well past that point in my life. I could be a grandmother. What kind of grand would I be? Some idiot with no self-control who becomes paralysed, hypnotised by what? A machine? The music? The lights? What is it? I lived a somewhat charmed life. Never alcohol, never drugs, never running or being run on. Good and accomplished kids, opportunities. Life has been sweet, wonderful and very blessed. I don't understand this. And now again, well, this is quite dark because again, when you read the book, is there's a lot of science going into this. Because interestingly, what you learn from the book is that the gambler, the people that stay in the machines, they're not actually staying to win. The deep rooted piece is to keep winning,
keep playing,
to stay there.
Yeah.
To keep, anyway, it's a fascinating piece. So I just thought we'd just start off with that little bit. Bit today. I'll kind of move on. Ash, you work now, you're known as the implementation coach.
Because
what you've become very accomplished at is kind of getting stuff done. And you understand a little bit about the anthropology and the human behaviour of kind of getting stuff done. How you get clients, I presume you go out and have a meeting with them?
Yes.
How long do you give them?
It's an interesting story. It's something I'm trialing at the moment, which is quite good fun. So I give them 20 minutes, and I think
okay.
this is worthy of thought for a lot of people that provide services, if you like.
That's why I'm asking you the question.
I figured. So they'll say, can I grab some of your time? And I say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 20 minutes.
Okay.
So we'll meet, we might have a coffee or dinner, and I'll give them 20 minutes. And invariably, they start asking questions, and you get into a decent discussion, and you recognise that you're giving value.
So you're addictive by design.
I try to be.
Yeah.
And so when we get to the 20 minutes, I'll stop them, and I will say to them, look, can I just pause you there? And they say, yeah, sure, not a problem. Is there a problem? And I'll say, no, no problem. But I said I'd give you 20 minutes, with the emphasis on the word give.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to continue this conversation because I suspect that you're getting some value and, you're asking lots of questions. Can you just let me know where I should send the invoice?
So what do they say to that?
I get response. Well, normally I get stunned silence.
Okay.
There's a little bit, what invoice? And yeah. I said, I'd give you 20 minutes.
Yeah. So you're not invoicing them for the 20 minutes?
No.
That you've had that? That was a gift.
And I think too many of us give too much away too quickly. And actually making it very clear from the outset that your time is valuable, knowing what that time is worth, and then being able to say to people really, really early on and setting that precedent, that actually, this time you have with me, that is my product, that is my service, and therefore you need to pay for it. And it either works one way or the other, because people will... but at least you know what kind of client you get.
How's the score look at the moment, then?
The score's pretty good, because I keep track. I'm on about 50%.
And you deliver it pretty well, because I guess that's part of that will be in the delivery of it, won't it? And just how it's delivered.
Yeah. I'm not being horrible about it. It's just...
Do you get people asking you to discount your prices as a kind of service provider?
I've had that. And that's quite an interesting one, because, people use that D word all the time, so I think it should be banned personally. This is
the word discount or deal or something.
Discount. You charge X. Can you do it for Y? Or we've known each other for a while now. Do you think you can reduce it?
So what do you say to that?
And I'll just say to them, "Yep, always. I'm always happy. I'm always happy to reduce the price to, you know, I'm always happy to give you a discount, but just let me know whether you'd like me to reduce the quality or the quantity.
That's a good line. That's a good line. So someone, so you've told someone what it's going to cost.
Yes.
For what you do. And so there's some level of interest there, clearly. And they come back and say, anything you do on the price,
yeah,
can have a discount.
Basically, yeah.
And you say yes, so they go, oh, that's great. And you then say, give it to me again, what do you say again? You say,
would you like me to reduce the quality or the quantity?
Ah, nice. So what do they say to that?
Well, there's no comeback. And that's why it's brilliant, because there is no answer. I mean, if anybody can think of a good answer to that, yeah, I'd be really keen to hear, because I don't know what I would say in that position, because you either come across as cheap or that you don't, you know, nobody wants to be cheap.
That's a good little phrase, is that. It goes, I'll put that in my locker, along with up to.
Yes.
For anyone new listening to that, we've talked this for quite a while, the last couple of years, but a very good friend of mine, a very successful salesperson. He sells more forklift trucks in this country than anybody else. And he's got this great line when he goes out and he's at the right point in the conversation. He will inquire from the ops director or the logistics guy, whoever he's talking to, and he'll say, what's the budget? And so when you ask that question directly, you will invariably get an answer, certainly in that kind of market or field. And whatever answer they give, he just says, up to? So what's your budget? 50,000. 50,000 up to, and straight away, he says they always give him something more.
Yes.
So straight away, he's stretched the budget. It's a really, really smart tool.
Yeah, I like that.
For anyone that is that is going out there and quoting and talking with people, as I know many people are. So this is good. We've got some interesting stuff already. Should we talk about holes at Gatwick Airport? Holes in the runway.
It was a really, really interesting. I mean, it kind of links in with this, you know, the anthropology. But just, you become a student of behaviour, I think, when you're a bit of a business owner and you go out and about. And I just spent, you know, three, four days in Spain last weekend.
Nice. Were you golfing?
Brilliant. Golfing. 3 days of golf. A few beers, but you know, just to break up the golf. And you know, we've done this trip 9 years now, so that's 18 flights, and you know, we never had a problem. We're coming back this time. And circling Gatwick, and the pilot comes onto the radio and says, well, you know, we've got a problem. Everyone, a little panic, but okay, it's not a huge problem. There's a hole in the runway at Gatwick, so we haven't got enough fuel to circle.
That's a fairly significant problem.
Yeah, you can't land.
Yes.
It makes it a challenge, you know, and planes couldn't take off. So they sent us to Bournemouth.
Okay.
Because they didn't have the fuel to circle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're at Bournemouth, and what was really interesting is just watching the behaviour.
I think there's an airport at Bournemouth as opposed to a Long Beach.
There is an airport at Bournemouth. Yeah. It's not very big, and he had to lean on the anchors when he was braking.
Okay, yeah.
There's a golf course at the end of the airport. We can actually have another round if he hadn't stopped early enough. But what I found fascinating is that there were people just got uppity. There's no other word for it. They just got uppity, and they were asking questions that where the answers had already been given to them. If they'd listened, they'd known the answers.
This is the passengers.
You know, and it was all about me. Yes. You know, it's all about me. You know, but I'm special. I can get off. And somebody said to me, because I was sitting there reading my book and chatting to my mates, and you know, reminiscing over some of the entertaining moments we'd had on the course and stuff.
Those that you could remember.
And those that we could remember. And you know, how can you stay so calm? And I said, well, I can't change any of it. I can't control any of it. So what use is getting angry and irritated going to do other than raise my heart rate? You know, just it is what it is. I can't change it. So what we did decide to do, because of the four of us, three of us are business owners, and we put our heads together and we said, well, actually, rather than moan about it, rather than complain, is there a solution? We're stuck here. We've still got to wait an hour for immigration because they had no immigration on. And it's an international flight.
Goodness.
We were at a position where we were looking at 2 hours for a bus to turn up to then drive us 3 hours back to Gatwick because they couldn't fit us back into the flight plan. Is there a solution? So, bit of collaboration. One of us rang 11 taxi firms.
Okay. 11.
And the other one got some food. And we didn't give up. We just kept trying.
So where are you at the moment on this?
We're at Bournemouth Airport.
You're in the airport.
Because they've let us off the plane. And we eventually got hold of this taxi driver, and he said, yeah, I can take you to Gatwick. I'm available. Brilliant. How much? And he said, oh, 140 quid or something.
Right.
And a lot of people at that point would have gone, 140 quid for a taxi drive?
That's more than the flight from Spain.
Yes. Quite a lot. And we went, well, okay, well, how many can you seat? And he said, what have you got? We said, golf clubs. He said, I can seat five with your clubs. Brilliant. There were three of us. So I went round the airport and said, do you fancy going home early to a couple of people? Grabbed a couple. They jumped in the taxi with us.
What are you talking about? £70 each?
Cost them 70 quid each.
Got a free ride home.
We split it up, so it was 30 quid each. But actually, we found a solution to the problem.
Yeah, nice.
Rather than moaning about it.
So. It is important, though, isn't it? I think most entrepreneurs within EC, I said at the beginning, I know many of you are listening to this when you're driving along. I used to do a lot of miles in some time ago now in my younger years. And I did used to get very stressed with traffic.
Mm.
But a very wise man had a little chat with me, because as you say, when there is nothing you can do about it, then actually there is no point getting stressed about that at all. I have been known on occasions to get quite animated at certain things. But I think, but generally speaking, it is stuff that I can do something about. There is no point getting worked up about things that you can't fix. And so talking about things that you can't fix, and again, I know I want to call on some of your experience and insights, Ash, here, because your clients are primarily business owners.
Yeah, all of them are. Yeah.
So they're people that want help to kind of move things forward.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about some of the challenges then, some of the common ones that you encounter perhaps most frequently. So I'm guessing procrastination must be.
Big.
It's
huge.
Well, it's not a national disease. It's bigger than that, isn't it? I think it transcends the globe. This, as human beings, I need to find a book about that that explains it more fully.
What, that's that big? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
because actually, interestingly, because there's a lot of people very capable at layering complexity into their procrastination.
Brilliant at it. To nick one of your phrases, people get, become world class at procrastinating.
Yeah.
They become experts. They become self-talk experts in it. And we were talking about the book earlier about, addiction by design. We actually want to have procrastination by design. It's the opposite, isn't it? That's what people do. I come across things, the big thing that I come across all the time is just that I'm really, really, really busy.
Yeah.
But I'm in the same place I was 12 months ago.
Yeah.
So busy doing what? It's always the question. And people are brilliant at filling up their time with stuff that doesn't really matter.
Yes, or matters a lot less.
Yes.
Than the stuff that they couldn't do. Yeah, because that I think is that's how I managed to cope with this, because I can procrastinate the best of them. If there was a European Championships for procrastination, I would be.
We can all do it.
I'd be nailed on for the finals, mate, because I'm good at that stuff. But I'm also I am capable of discerning when I need to do stuff. So what help? How do you help your clients then? Where you've gone in? Dr. Ash has gone in there. He's diagnosed the problem. What's the prescription?
I think people want a lot of procrastination and not moving forward comes from almost a fear of decision making sometimes.
Okay.
And there's an element of that. They want somebody to say, yeah, that's the right thing to do.
Yes.
And to
that we all have a at some level
group responsibility.
We have a need for that. So I understand that.
Group responsibility. I think. Someone to give them a bit of a sense check. And I think also where I believe I make quite a strong difference is helping people with understanding why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay.
The clarity behind it. Because I think having the right vision, having the right direction where you're aiming. We've heard Ben Hunt Davis talk about will it make the boat go faster? Some people aren't even getting in the boat.
Which won't therefore make it go any faster.
No. And it's about knowing where you're going, because you need that anchor.
And have you found personally that must have been quite a big help to you? I guess because whenever I meet you now, and we see each other fairly regularly. But you are someone that seems to be very together. You seem content, I think would be the word I would use.
Yeah.
And I know the kind of, if we're up in Yorkshire, there's been through mill lad, has there? has he?
Yeah.
Has been right through mill. You've had a lot to cope with the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so to emerge from that, as you have done, what part has, you know, your, what clarity played a part for you in that?
Two things, I think. One, recognising that I actually already had a lot. And being content with what I had is a good starting point.
Okay.
Because if I lost everything,
yeah,
is it really that bad?
Okay, that is interesting, yeah.
I think there's an element of, also, there was so much fear around losing everything.
Yeah.
That once you've lost everything, it's very clear how bad it can or can't be. And yes. I was still standing, I still had food in my belly, you know, it wasn't okay. that bad. So once you get past the fear, then you can start making some, you know, plans that actually matter to you.
So that, well, so this, you see, now part of that, you see, I go back, I've quoted before, this line from Evita, where that Tim Rice wrote the lyric to it. It says, Eva Peron had all the disadvantages you need if you're going to succeed. Mm. And the point behind it is she came from nothing.
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying here, in terms of it this becomes easier? Because unfortunately, in this context, although fortunately in every other context, most of us, certainly people listening to this, people in EC, we're not in a situation where we've lost everything.
No.
We're actually in a scenario that's actually, we are at one level or another comfortable. So it doesn't matter. It isn't life or death. And isn't this where a lot of the procrastination comes from? Because actually, if I don't do it, it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
That's the point. There isn't the pain is insufficient or not there at all, yep. And therefore it doesn't really matter.
I think you tell this story, or you use this method, if you like, of saying to people that, would you get it done if your kids were
yeah,
in the cupboard?
Absolutely, yeah. Really locked matters. Up and tied up, and they're only coming out if you get this thing done.
Yeah, and there's an argument that says that I was in that cupboard myself, and mm-hmm. I had to find a way out. And I think...
It wasn't kinky or something.
It wasn't kinky. There was no leather involved at all. But once you've had
have
that...
Have you watched Billions?
No, not yet.
Ooh,
should
good.
I?
It's good. It's good.
To get involved in Billions.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that. In fact, do you know what? It's unusual for me, because I don't... And I'm digressing a bit here, but these series that go on for like 120 episodes, I started watching Prison Break a few years ago, and I quite enjoyed it actually. And then I think it was like episode 18, they escape from prison. I think it's nearly finished. No. There's like 94 episodes. Well, at that point, I'm not giving up that much of my life. But the ones that are like 12 episodes, I can do them.
Yeah.
Sue likes Damien Lewis, a little bit ginger for me, but I can go with it. And so we watched Billions, got really into it. Found myself the first proper box set that I've watched.
Brilliant.
12 episodes, beginning to end.
Wow.
Very good.
It's like the first 24. They should have just stuck with 24.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't need 48.
Even 24 is too many.
Oh, yeah, that was quite addictive.
A little bit kinky in Billions.
Is it? I might have to watch it.
Leave that with you. Now, back to
over.
Kids in cupboards.
Kids in cupboards, yeah. So where was I? Yeah, just, I think when you know, when you're in the dark and it's very difficult and you find a way out, for me now, that clarity is all about, well, I'm actually in quite a good place, but I would like to have a little bit more, and so that if things were to fall apart,
yes,
you know, I've got a cushion.
Yes.
And apart from this, you know, my daughter is a big part of that as well. I don't want her to have a cushion. But it's about.
Sorry, I've just got yeah. this. Happy birthday, Alec.
It's a cushion.
It's a cushion.
Yeah. But I think it's about. I think it's just about recognizing that your goals don't necessarily have to be as huge and as grandiose as everybody else
yes.
thinks they should be.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the yes, big recognition.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Big is not necessarily, huge isn't necessarily better.
So you get a lot of pleasure, because you do have a lot of flexibility with your time.
Yeah,
that's by design.
Yes.
Time by design is what you've done there, and yeah. that is important to you.
Yes, hugely. I play golf once a week. I go to the gym. I spend, you know, we have date night every week.
That's not true.
We could work yeah. on that. You know, Kay and I have date night every week. I see my friends when I want to. You know, I spent 4 days in Spain, and that's been in the diary for a year, and nothing was going to get in the way of it. And I plan relentlessly.
Okay, so again, going back then, how do we help? How do you help business owners whom you know are procrastinating to stop procrastinating and get some shit done?
Find out what you really, really want to do. Plan it.
So, well, hang on, before we go on to that, because even that's quite difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, can be.
Because a lot of us are doing stuff that we didn't plan to do.
No.
We've kind of, it's somehow it's morphed here.
Yeah, it just appeared on your desk.
We've kind of ended up in this place. We didn't design it.
No.
And there's parts of it that we like and we enjoy, but there's parts of it that people don't like and enjoy, isn't there?
Definitely. And we can all be guilty of that, I think. I did a blog last week, actually. Just say no. And if you've got clarity in where you want to go, it comes back to the, will it make the boat go faster?
Yeah.
Just say no.
Paul Cox brought to Mastermind a couple of years ago, is the biggest thing that helped him is he compiled a to don't list.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
So there's some things that I just do not do.
Do not do.
Because that helps with the procrastination.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a to don't list, and I am not going to do those things there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on Facebook between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. I am not going to...
Yeah. Somebody said, well, I only spend about 10 minutes a day on Facebook. That was a lie, but that's what they said to me. So I did the maths. That's a week a month, a week a year. That's a week of your time over a year. That's a holiday.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
It's a whole week.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You just turned your 52-week year into a 51-week year. Because if you're 10 minutes,
yeah,
looking at cats chasing cucumber,
so 10, yeah, so that's an hour a week.
Yeah,
so it's 50 hours a year.
Yeah,
that is a week, a working week, isn't it? You're absolutely right. That's I like that. That's good. That we launched the EC Online program a couple of months ago now, and we brought on board our first couple of hundred ICPs, our independent certified partners, and they've all had a training program, which it's pretty cool. And gives them a very clear path to go and bring in. Oh, there's the afternoon sandwich van in the rain. The ICP training, and it gives them a very clear path to go out there and bring in their first 100 customers. Mm. And it was fascinating what happened because, again, we see this time to time. A whole bunch of ICPs took the training, watched the videos, went through the workbooks, went out there, started making sales. Brilliant. Love that.
Get on with it.
Another group went to the training, did the videos, passed the test, and then came to us for requests to sign off on all the different bits of print they want to produce and all the stuff that they don't need. And this is another manifestation of procrastination.
Of course it is.
And we're saying, well, listen, you don't need this stuff. Go out and get, we'll look at this when you've made your first few sales. But go make your first few sales. You've got everything you need to go and make your first few sales. Build some momentum.
Yep.
Every business benefits from momentum. Get something winning. Going out there, anyone starting a business, the most important thing, go get some customers. Go and sell the products that you've got. And you don't need all these other bells and whistles to do that. Yet we find ways, yep, to put things in the way of us doing the things that make the biggest difference. And I guess that's where it does come back to your second question. Well, why are you doing this? What is it all about?
What's the end result? What will it give you? What does life look like? And I've been very clear. I mean, I think a big thing for me was, well, I want to have a balanced life.
Yes.
I want to be able to do all little things. Well, I don't need to retire to do that. What I'll do is retire now and have it now.
Yeah.
So I'm working enough and planning to do more. And I've got some great things that I'm going to be launching next year, which I'm really excited about. But the whole point is that they all fit in around the life that I want to have. Because
And as business owners, but we've all got that.
We get that choice.
And you share that story because that is the truth of it, isn't it?
It is.
As entrepreneurs, we are uniquely placed in our society to choose the life that we want because we haven't got a boss, you know, telling us what we've got to do. We haven't got a contract which says we've got to be somewhere on a certain day.
I get so irritable. It's one of the things that does irritate me is when people say, I can't do that.
Mm.
That's rubbish. You're choosing not to do that.
Hard for people to see that sometimes, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's because they don't necessarily have the clarity of where they're going.
So it all comes back to clarity.
I think that's the starting point for everything.
It all comes back to clarity.
Definitely.
So which is interesting, isn't it? Because you've got this reputation now as the implementation coach, yet it all starts with clarity,
yeah,
which is actually, in isolation, has nothing to do with implementation at all.
No, it doesn't. No, it's interesting.
But...
I get stuff done because I know what stuff to get done.
Yeah.
And actually, I probably do, I'll let you into a secret, I probably do quite a lot less than other people. But what I do is the right stuff
the right things.
And that's how I manage to fit everything else in as well.
Mm. That's very deep. A profound podcast insight on a grey summer's afternoon. So you're off to do a bit of speaking tonight?
A little bit of speaking in London, yeah.
And as we're recording this, the football is still on.
It is.
We're
still in it.
Well, this is true. As we're recording this, England are still in the Euros. We're recording this the day before the match against Wales.
Yeah.
The other thing is, as well, when people listen to this, they'll know what happened in the EU referendum.
They will.
Yeah. Gosh. And we don't know that right now.
We've got no idea. So what? You're lucky.
Okay.
You
so, so let's so 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 let's call it on this then, Ash. So England Wales tomorrow. What's going to happen?
I think Wales will score. Sorry, Gareth Bale will score. He'll probably provide the assist as well.
It's his England against Gareth Bale, yes.
Yeah, and then I suspect I'm going to go for 2-1 because Gareth Bale will fumble it when he's in goal. For the winner.
So an English victory.
Yeah.
I think England will come through tomorrow. So I'm kind of with you there. I just think we might fire a bit as well. I think we might score a few goals. So I think we may score more than 2 tomorrow, but I am very optimistic about these sort of things. So that's the footy out of the way, England Wales. Yeah. So and how far are we going to get in the Euros?
I'd be disappointed with quarter finals. I'm going to go for semis.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think we're a good team. I'm enjoying watching us play.
Okay. Well, so referendum then now. Oof. EU referendum. So I'm not asking you to declare how you're going to vote. What do you think is going to happen?
I suspect, because the majority of people don't like change, that we'll end up staying in.
Mm. That was my view at the beginning of this campaign. But I just sent, as we're sat here right now, to the 8 days before the referendum, I just think things might have shifted. Mm. And as you know, my colours have been nailed to the mast. And I will be voting Leave. And I thought, at the start of this campaign, I will be voting Leave, but we'll be on the losing side. I'm less sure now. I think when this podcast is aired, the referendum may have delivered a surprising result. It's going to be very interesting.
I think it will be very
We live in interesting times.
We do, and it's great to be part of it. And for me, the most important thing with my vote is to think about what's best for my daughter.
Because okay.
I'm not really going to benefit from it that much.
No, because after all, goodness me. I mean, you're in your 30s now. I mean, God, it's all behind you, isn't it?
I wish. but I'm kind of voting on her behalf to a certain degree.
That is interesting. We'll see what happens. Mm. We're not going to get political anymore, though.
No.
So that's our prophecies. From
money on the
from,
table
from Gypsy Rose Taylor, looking into a crystal ball. England win against Wales, and the UK votes to stay in the EU. Ash, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate your input. Some really, really interesting insights. Hope that's been helpful, guys. Drive safely to your destination, or else at least navigate the dog walk home. thanks for listening. We're back next month with our August podcast, when hopefully the sun will be shining. Cheerio, bye bye.
You've been listening to The Podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Podcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.